And the rest of us, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now, there's been a lot of anticipation. I put out this Facebook that I'm going to preach something and do something I have never done in my 35 plus years of ministry. And there was all kinds of excitement, and you're probably wondering, okay, what's he going to do? Is he going to prophesy who the next president is? Or am I going to reveal the Antichrist? Or what exciting thing that I have never preached in 35 years? Well, it's probably nothing like that that you were expecting, but it is something radical, at least for me, in some senses. Well, first of all, let me just tell this story about a man who, he said, I will never have the audacity to choose a career path for my children. It's their responsibility to choose whatever medical school they'll graduate from. Well, I'm about to choose a career path for every one of you in this room. I choose a career path for you. And I'm going to train you up a little bit this morning. But Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples, and of course Judas by this time had hung himself, so now there's only, instead of 12, there are 11. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Okay, so what? Well, go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Would you grab your Bible or your phone or whatever you use as your Bible and lift it up right now? This is very important. I don't just do this just to do it. I believe when we speak things forth, things happen. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And today my mind is alert. And my spirit is ready. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And help Pastor Joe to keep it real simple. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Some of you, your life is going to change so radically after today, you will not even recognize your life previous to what we're going to talk about today. You're going to say, man, I missed out. Today I'm going to preach something and do something, like I said, never done 35 years of ministry, but it may be the most significant thing I've done in all my years of ministry. Now, I've done things close to this, but not to the degree. What I'm doing today is I am officially appointing you, all of you, and releasing all of you to become pastors of churches. Yep, I am appointing you and I am releasing you to become pastors of churches. Because I believe that God, we're talking about discipleship, he said, go therefore and make disciples. And this is discipling month in our Bridge Vision, B-R-I-D-G-E. The D stands for discipling. And the Lord spoke to me to focus on each of those each month and to preach on those topics. And actually, up until Friday, Gene asked me Friday morning, so how's your sermon going? I'm like, I don't have a sermon. And I don't know what I'm going to do. But by Friday night, I had the word of the Lord, and it shocked me, and it surprised me. But I believe, as God is calling all of us to make disciples, that he wants to see a disciple detonation take place. It's time for a disciple detonation. Mike's got it. 1 becoming 2, 4, 5, becoming 10, becoming 100, becoming 1,000 disciples. A mass multiplication of disciples of Jesus across this city. And that's our bridge mission, vision, discipling, making disciples. And look at this. Acts chapter 2 says this: when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house, say house, where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Where did this first great outpouring of the Holy Spirit take place? In a house! In a house! The day of Pentecost, think about this, is often seen as the birthday of the church. Where was the church born? Was it born in the temple? Was it born in a synagogue? Was the church born in a church? It was born in a house. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46, just towards the end of that same chapter. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and I'm going to talk about that, they still met in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and a discipleship detonation took place. Or actually, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How many of you are ready for people to get saved? How many of you are ready for everyday people getting saved? Come on. Note here that they met daily in the temple and from house to house. And watch this. Chapter 5 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So you see, this is a pattern in the book of Acts. And I believe this word is especially significant today and now. Because as I shared with you, we prayed about Belarus today and the protests that are going on there, hundreds of thousands in the street crying out for freedom, trying to get the world's attention. And I had the privilege to go to Belarus for the first time in 1992. Some of you may have heard my story how even back in the 80s when the nation was closed, it was under communist rule, under Russia, atheism was official, churches were very, very, very limited in their scope of operation and such, and missionaries were definitely not allowed. And the Lord spoke to me that he wanted me to go to Belarus. I'm like, it's impossible. You can't do that. But lo and behold, a few years later, 1992, I got to go there. And I went with a team, and we spent the first week in Dnipropetrovsk, Ukraine, which I told you about a couple weeks ago, where everybody in the auditorium got saved. Everybody. And they heard the gospel for the first time. And my team, the rest of my team, went to Volgograd to do some ministry there. But I separated and I went to Belarus on my own. And my cousin picked me up there. I had some relatives there. I still have relatives there. And she picked me up in Moscow, and we went to McDonald's there. It just opened up. You know, the line went all the way around the block. It was, I mean, kids and prom dates and stuff were going to McDonald's. It was such a big deal. She could speak no English at all, and I spoke a little bit of Russian and Belarusian, mixed it all up, and understood a little bit better than I could speak. And so we tried to communicate, and I told her when we got back into her city in Belarus that I, of course, wanted to meet her and my other cousins and relatives, but that I was also on a mission and that I was there to preach the gospel and that I needed to find a Christian or a church or something that I can connect to, that ministry opportunities would be given to me. And so her and her neighbor, I was sharing this with them. We were trying to carry on this broken conversation. And I believe the neighbor said, you know, there's this little group that meets out in the park in the center of town. One evening, I said, I'm going to go out there looking for them. Again, I had no contacts. I had no connections to anything Christian in Belarus. I just felt like I needed to go there. I was a missionary to go there. And so I went and went to the park, and lo and behold, there was a little crowd of about 40, 50 people, and they were having church out in the park because everything was so new. Freedom was so new that they didn't even have buildings yet. There weren't churches yet. And so as people began to find the gospel and began to gather as Christians, and they found public places to meet in. And so I went there and introduced myself, and they were very excited. Wow, an American in our city, you know, and a minister. And so they said, would you please come to our house group tomorrow night and come and share? So I was very excited about that. And that next night I went to this, what they call commie block apartments, just big giant buildings that were just put together real fast, little tiny apartments, one bedroom, one bathroom, three, four families sometimes living in these apartments in Belarus. And so we went up several stories to one of these apartments, and the living area was packed out with a whole bunch of people, maybe 15, 20 people that had all come. They were all excited to hear what I had to share. But I was just so thrilled. I was trying to hold back the tears seeing what was going on. But something interesting was shared with me that night. So I said, well, are you planning to get a church, build a church? Are you guys saving up? What are you doing? They said, well, not really. So we're really focusing on these meetings in our homes. And I said, really? That's interesting. And I do believe in small groups and home groups and cell groups and things like that. But this was so fascinating. The reason why they were doing that is because they had become familiar with and believed in the prophecies that were given by David Wilkerson in the 1970s. So if you're familiar at all with David Wilkerson, who's the founder of Teen Challenge and Crossing the Switchblade fame, and who was a great preacher, teacher, built that great church, Times Square Church in New York City, he prophesied in the 1970s that Russia would open up and the former Soviet Union would open up to the gospel, that freedom would come. And that happened. But he also said, it's only going to be for a short time. So it's only going to be for a short time, and everything's going to close up again. And this church, this brand new baby group of believers, they took that to heart, and they said, we are training ourselves to meet in the home, because right now there's freedom, and we could get a church, and we can meet publicly, but we believe David Wilkerson prophesied that there's coming a time those opportunities would close, so we need to be ready for that. So they were planning on house churches and training one another how to do house churches. So sure enough, a couple of years later, only 2 years later, Alexander Lukashenko was elected president, and slowly but surely he began to throw all these restrictions on Christians and churches, and like I said, confiscated properties, closed churches, put Christians in prison, etc. And increasingly, it got worse and worse and worse. I was able to go back several years later, but actually like 10 years later, but the KGB followed me everywhere I went. The Bible school president who had me teaching classes there said, have your bags packed in your room because they could kick you out any minute. So it's got increasingly bad to right now. It's terrible there for the Christians. And this is happening around other parts of the former Soviet Union, even in Russia, more and more restrictions. Some of the other republics are as hardcore as Belarus. However, they were preparing themselves for that time. But the reason I share all that is because it's happening in America. It's happening in America. And if not here specifically, we know in California, churches are not allowed to meet. And other states are not allowed to even meet outside. And there are even some restrictions saying you can't have a Bible study with somebody in America. We're not talking about communist Soviet Union or China or something or North Korea, the United States. And who knows if there's a second wave or something, what our government will do. And especially if the wrong people get in power. If the wrong people are voted in, it's going to be terrible. And we're going to see persecution like we've never seen before. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready when they say those doors close. We need to be ready. We need some pastors that are ready and trained when this one's in jail, drinking his chicory. And here's the thing. Even if the government does not put restrictions on churches, the way some of our politicians are criticizing Christians and churches routinely, it has emboldened the average citizen to criticize churches, to fight against churches, to be mean and nasty towards Christians and churches. It's emboldened them. And what could happen, the government might not shut us down, but this is already happening in many places where there are legal assemblies of churches. There are people, neighbors, and people in the community protesting the churches saying, you shouldn't be meeting. Like this sign says, this church endangers us all. And they could, even if the government allows it, there could be neighborhood outcry. There could be difficulties from just average people that are around us. And so again, we need to be ready for this. And that's why the Holy Spirit spoke to me Friday and told me to appoint you and to release you and to equip you to become pastors. And yes, I'm talking to you. And actually, what I'm going to share with you, even an unbeliever can become a pastor, because they'll just be pre-believers. And after they do this, they're going to come to the Lord. If I'm in jail, people still need to hear the gospel. They still need to have received ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm going to share with you is going to set off, I believe, that discipleship detonation. Even in the midst of persecution, all this stuff we just read about the numbers increasing in the early church in the book of Acts was all in the midst of persecution. They were being persecuted. They were being thrown in jail. They were suffering all kinds of problems, but the church grew and expanded in that time because of the pattern that has been established for us in the scriptures. It says in Acts 5:14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And we see in Acts chapter 6, after the deacons were appointed, if you remember, there were the 12 apostles, but then there were some other needs, and they appointed 7 others and laid hands on them and released them into ministry. And among them were Stephen and Philip, and they did incredible miracle ministry and preached the gospel, etc. And from that point, it went from that the Lord added to the church those who are being saved. It says, and the disciples multiplied. And so it became a multiplication factor. So we see this pattern of the people of God meeting in both in the temple and from house to house. God's plan for the church is that it would gather in large groups consistently and in small groups consistently. Now, in the large group, you have distinct advantages being together with a whole bunch of people. Worship, you have a worship team. Worship really happens powerfully when you're gathered like that in a larger group. You can have mass teaching and mass instruction and equipping in the large group. But in the house, real fellowship and discipleship can take place. So this is what I want you to do, okay? I'm going to give you some equipment today. I'm going to give you some pastoral training today. Then I'm going to ask you to go out and start churches. Churches in your houses, in your apartments, in your condos. Now, this might start with just you and your wife or husband and kids. Then you want to begin to maybe invite some neighbors or workmates, relatives, friends. And before you know it, your group's going to be so big, you're going to have to split. And so you're going to have to find somebody who's been faithful and enthusiastic and is of good character, and you're going to split your group, and then they're going to start their own house group and take a half of your group over there. And then they're going to grow, and they're going to have to split, and you're going to grow again, and you're going to have to split. So they're going to have to appoint some other people. And this is going to grow so fast, we're going to have about 500 to 1,000 disciples made. And most of them will be people who did not go to church before or who were pre-believers. This city will be full, hundreds and hundreds of believers, because you're going to invite the unsaved into your little house churches. The gift of hospitality will need to be exercised like never before. So this is how you do church. Okay, I'm going to train you how to do church. You begin by eating. That's how you do church. Don't get religious on me now, okay? This is how you do church. You eat. I'll prove it to you. We read it already. Acts 2:46, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You don't have to cook a big meal or something. Just basically have some snacks and some soft drinks or something. Of course, when I was in college, the way we interpreted breaking bread was pizza. So you could get some $5 pizzas, you know, and as your group grows and matures and the connections become stronger, you can invite people to bring foods and such. And you know what you do for the first part of that time? You just sit around and talk. You sit around, you talk, you catch up, you have fellowship with one another, and eat. It's biblical. Now, what's going to happen as you gather the people together then to study the Bible, because at some point you'll say, hey, all right, let's gather around, and we're going to look at our Bible passage for today. And the way you're going to study the Bible is going to be so fun and so easy that almost anybody will be able to lead such a Bible study. Even, like I said, even a person who's not a churchgoer or even a Christian could lead this Bible study, and they'll get something out of it. And incidentally, you need to have, and this is before we get into anything else, you need to have the passage that you're going to study typed out. Don't expect people to come with their Bibles, you know, the 10-pound Bibles, like Jean's, you know, her Bible is about that big. So don't expect that. Have that ready for them. But they're going to have fun at this. Acts 5:42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So what are you going to study? So since we need to teach and preach Jesus, you're going to study one of the Gospels. Like I often tell people online, I often tell people who are new to the Lord or they're seeking and trying to get some direction on how to pursue God, that you need to start with something like the Gospel of Mark. Then you look at Luke, maybe, then John, then come back to Matthew. But you're going to pick a section of Scripture. Put your hand out in front of you, okay? Now see the distance between your thumb and your pinky? That's about how much Bible you're going to read, okay? Just a section. You're going to pick a section out, maybe a story or a parable, or kind of a group of related teachings that Jesus gives, but just maybe 10, 12 verses, something like that. And you're going to read the passage and invite the group members to do the reading. Maybe go around in a circle. Some of you are like, I got to get out of here. I can't do this. Hang on! I ain't letting you go. I'm not done with training yet. But you're going to go around and maybe have each person read two verses. This is what we do with our college Bible study, our SC4 Bible study. We have people who have no church background that come, and right now we're doing it online, but we just have each person reads a couple of verses. We go around till we read the whole passage. Okay? And then you're going to ask some questions. You can even ask these questions that I'm going to share with you in your own personal Bible study time. So this is a way you can study the Bible for yourself. But in a group setting, it's really fun. So you read the passage of the Bible, and you're going to ask them, what did you like about what we just read? That's simple. What did you like about what we just read? You know, people love to share. They love to share. And don't judge, don't correct, don't interrupt, unless it's getting way off, you know. But allow the Holy Spirit to move on people's hearts. Some of you watching online, you might be in Pakistan or something. This is a way to do a Bible study, an opportunity for you to have a church. Now, some of you maybe in here or watching online, you're already part of a church and they have home groups and such. I'm not telling you to go out from under the authority of your pastor. I still think you should do this, but you don't call it an official Bible study of your church. This is you. This is you. You're starting your church. That's what's the crazy thing about this for me is I felt like the Holy Spirit says, let them go. You don't have to go through membership class. You don't have to go through training. You don't have to go. Just go. Because, you know, in the Bible, they didn't have any of that stuff. They just went and made disciples. That's all Jesus told them to do. Go and make disciples. So I'm telling you, people are going to love this. Raw pagans are going to love this. They love to give their opinions about the Bible. Okay? Let them do it. Because people are done being preached at. They're being preached at on the internet, on Facebook, and on Instagram, and they're being preached at on by the politicians and Hollywood, and the NBA is preaching at them, and everybody's preaching at them. One of my mentors, he often said this. He said, it's interesting. The way we do church is we preach. The way Jesus did church is he told stories and he asked questions. Because it's an inductive method. People learn by themselves. And it's amazing what happens. I'm going to share some stories later. Now, you can do this tonight. You can do this with your family. It's a family devotional. Couples can do it. So this is one question number one. The next question you're going to ask is, what didn't you like? And you might say, why would I ask somebody that? What didn't you like about the passage? Because it'll reveal a lot about that person. It will reveal the things they've gone through, maybe the hurts they've gone through, the struggles they're having. And when you are on your own praying for that person, you're going to know how to pray for them. Are you with me? Do you see that? Again, let them share. Thirdly, was there anything you didn't understand? So after people go around and share, and you can do this by just asking volunteers, what did you like? What didn't you like? You don't have to say, what did you? How about you? How about you? How about you? You don't have to do that. But let it just flow naturally. But then after you ask what you like, what you don't like, was there anything you didn't understand? And you could go a different number of routes here. One thing is you can just say something simply like, well, let's look into that this week and maybe come back next week and see if we have an answer, or if anybody has an answer. Or you can be a little bit prepared for your study. You could read your passage and get a commentary and try to understand it yourself so that if questions come up, you could answer them. But you don't have to do that, but that's something you can do. Or you can have some resources in front of you available, like a commentary or a study Bible, so that when a question comes up, you can look it up. We do this on Thursday nights a lot here. A question will come up, and I'll look it up in my Greek Bible or something. You don't have to even know your Greek or whatever, but there are resources like Bible Hub, great resource where there are commentaries and it's free online, different things like that. And so number of things you can do. And then the next question is really important, maybe the most important, and is what all of this is all about. After you discuss what you liked about that passage, what you didn't like, were there any questions, then you ask, what did you learn about God? And even if a person doesn't believe in God, what did you learn about the God that we believe in? What does this passage say to you as to what does it say about God? And you will be surprised at how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is around. Did you know that? He's around. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, remember the anointing will teach you. I remember sitting 2 years ago when I started with our Bible study at SC4. We had a huge group of students, not huge, but sometimes a dozen. But most of them were unchurched, had no church background, had no Christian background, but they were coming every week. And when we'd ask these questions, they would give answers. And me and the Bible study leader, our jaws are on the ground. We're picking our jaws up. We're like, where did you get that from? How their insights of the scriptures. And I'm talking about unchurched people, but we asked them these simple questions, and they would answer them. And I'm like, I've been in ministry 35 years, and I never knew that. It was amazing. The Holy Spirit can do amazing things. He speaks to people. And then finally ask, regardless of where your faith is at now, if you were to apply what we learned about God to do something in your life this week, what would that look like? So basically application. So we learned something here today. How are you going to incorporate it this week? If you were to incorporate what we learned today, what would you do this week? And again, just tremendous discussion can take place, and let people share, and don't judge them, and watch how dynamic this thing will get. It's just incredible how excited people will get, even pre-believers. Like I said, they'll come out of that time saying stuff like, wow, that was really fun. Wow, I learned something. And you could just end it there, or you could do one more thing. You could end it there and just say, well, thanks for coming, and we still got some pizza left over. Or you could just do what Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You can invite people and say, hey, if anybody needs some prayer about something, I'll be glad to pray with you about it. And that's a moment while others are maybe fellowshipping or heading out the door where you and somebody could just pray about their need, whatever it is. And they'll feel cared for, they'll feel loved, and you will be a pastor. This way, if they ever close churches, there will still be church for people, especially the unsaved, who in desperate times are going to be looking for answers. And if they forbid people to meet in houses like this, then pray about meeting anyway and joining me in jail. And we'll have a Bible study there. You can do this! You can do this! I want you to be thinking about who can you invite over to your house. Tell them it's a Bible study, but it's just an opportunity. You can even tell them the questions we're going to ask. In fact, when I do this, I'm going to hand them a little thing, and I'm going to make something for next week for you guys with these questions on it and some breakdown of Gospel of Mark, so what you can do each week, what section of Scripture. But I'm going to tell them, this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask these five questions. Love for you to come over. We're going to have some pizza, whatever. Stay 6 feet apart. Wear your mask. Open. Whatever they feel comfortable with. You don't have to do pastor's protocols unless you really feel you need to. Like I said, you can do this. Acts 2:17 says it, and it shall come to pass in the last days. We're not only in the last days, we're in the last hour. That I will pour out of my Spirit on all, say all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men, kids will do this. Kids would do this. In fact, Gene, I said, I didn't tell Gene what I was going to preach on. So after the 9 a.m., I said, what do you think, Gene? And she goes, that's what I do with the kids. She goes, that's what I do. I do that. We're going through the Gospel of John. That's what I do. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants, on my maid servants. Yes, ladies, you are qualified to become pastors. We allow women in the ministry here. Or God allows it, I should say, in the last days. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. He's pouring out his Spirit. He's equipping all of us to be able to minister. And if you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, I talked about 2 Timothy 2:2 it to the world. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And we have a discipleship detonation take place. And this city is going to hear about it, and people are going to hear about these groups. They're going to say, oh, I went to this Bible study at Mike and Bev's house, and it was so fun. They weren't preaching at us. We just looked at the Bible, and we talked about the passages. I learned so much. That's the kind of stuff that's going to spread around. And I have testimonies of this just blowing up in cities. I got to meet a man who went to Denver, Colorado. He and his wife knew nobody and no connections. Went there. Every day he would go out, put his dog out at 4 o'clock because his neighbors would put their dog out at 4 o'clock every day. So he went out every day. Next thing you know, they're talking to each other and they're connecting and just asked, hey, have you ever been interested in the Bible? And not really. We're not churchgoers. Oh, I'm doing a little thing. We just ask questions, look at a Bible passage, and just mostly just eat and have something to drink. And sure, we'll come over. My wife and I will come over. We've kind of actually both have been going through a lot of things, and that'd be good. Do you know within a matter of months there were 500 people meeting in houses in Denver, Colorado? You know why? Because this is the biblical way, is the biblical pattern. So I'm going to release you right now. I'm going to close in prayer. And if worship team, if you guys come on up, I want to do great as the Lord, and especially in all the earth, will shout your name. But I want to pray for you two things. I'm going to release you and pray an anointing upon you to go do this. And that some of you are getting real excited. Some of you are stood up. Some of you are like, aah. Some of you, don't worry. You know, actually, this week, some of you who are going to be, wait a minute. You know what? Somebody's going to come to you and ask you a Bible question this week. And you're like, there's no way I'm doing this. Somebody's going to come up to you, and you're like, that's my first victim. And you're going to say, let's meet Thursday night, Friday night. But I'm going to pray for you, for God's anointing upon you, and just release you and bless you to build churches. And I'm not talking about building buildings, but building people. And then I'm going to pray a specific healing prayer today. When we were having our lay pastors meeting this week, Pam brought out a very powerful thing. But she said, isn't it interesting that there are so many in our church that are having eye problems? Glaucoma, pressure, macular degeneration, maybe detached retinas, all kinds of eye problems. And she said, isn't it interesting that when Jesus started his ministry, quoted from Isaiah 61, and he said this, and this is really interesting. It's quoted in Luke 4, but he's quoting Isaiah. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Of all the ailments that Jesus could have brought out, he specifically said to bring sight to the blind. So I'm going to pray for your eyes. Those of you who've been struggling, those of you maybe nothing, you're just getting old like me, and your glasses have to get stronger and stronger. I'm praying for these. I won't need these. I know somebody who walked into church one day, and they put their glasses on. They had the screen. They were worshiping, looking at the screen. They couldn't see anything. They're like, what's going on? Do I have to get a stronger prescription? Took his glasses off and looked at the screen and could see it clear as day. He was healed, instantaneously healed. So let me pray for you. Let's do that first. Hallelujah. If any of you have an eye issue or you want to be set free from glasses or anything, just lift your hand up right now. Lord, you see these hands. And Father, I pray for healing. You came for the recovery of sight to the blind. And I pray for healing. Macular degeneration reversed in the name of Jesus right now. I speak healing, focus, and strength, muscles, eye muscles to become strengthened again. That we would be like Moses, whose eyes did not dim. And Lord, I pray for those that are suffering pressure in their eyes right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to them. Pressure, go down now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for your healing. And those online, those of you online, this is for you too. I want you to even put your hands on your eyes and just say, yes, I receive that prayer right now for my eyes in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you would stand, if you can, would you stand? Father, in this building is so much power that it can change this city. There are enough people. You only needed 12. There are more than that in this room right now. And you turned the world upside down with those 12. Father, I pray an anointing upon everyone here and those watching online that, Lord, you would raise them up to be pastors in these last days. That there would be a last days ministry that is seeing the scriptural pattern taking place of meeting in the home, eating in the home, studying the Bible, receiving prayer, and then coming together in the temple and worshiping you. And so, Lord, I speak anointing upon each and every one. I speak a boldness upon each and every one in the name of Jesus. And I appoint you to go forth now and make disciples in Jesus' name. Amen. And don't wait for me. Don't be saying, well, when are we going to start this program? It's not a program. It's you going and just doing it. Don't even tell me about it. Just do it, because I'm going to hear about it when this thing starts to explode. So, again, you don't have to be a Bible expert. You don't have to be a Bible teacher. And we'll have those questions and things for you. All right. And then we're going to worship. And if you still have an offering to give, you can do that. And those of you online, especially from our church, if you want to give, you can do that online.
And all the earth will shout your name. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great.